As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm Andrew Schleck. We're part of The Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Mondays, is my good friend, Michele Barrett. Michele, what's up?
Well, season is very, very, very close.
Ooh.
And I can't wait. I mean, like, all these ranking players, X players, Y players, Z, now I kind of, I have it on my fingertips. Like, I want to see them play.
I
want
know.
To see if I... If I like, if I made like stupid stuff or not, so
I know, man. It's exciting. A week from today, I will be down at the Paycom Center trying to talk.
I don't know what that is.
Talking to players. I know. So hopefully that all goes well and according to plan. I'm super excited to get back into it. Back into media day to. Talk to players in person, which we got to do some of that, as you guys know, at Summer League. But you know, talk to the real NBA guys. Let's have a conversation with Shea. Let's have a conversation with other people. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully we can deliver some good content for you guys that day. No promises, but I think I've got some good stuff cooking there. So it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So, no real news. Josh Giddey was on TikTok just saying stuff. I don't really have any commentary on that. I don't want to sound like a jerk. No. So, we're going to just move on. We're doing a 2018 redraft. There's been lots of like redraft stuff out there. And, you know, Thunder fans were dissatisfied with it. They didn't like it. They didn't like where guys are ranked or put, whatever. So, we're going to do it. And this is a class that we're... very, very familiar with. Was this the first class that we did the Thunder After Dark NBA Draft Series with?
That is probably right.
I think that's right.
I'm not sure if it was on Thunder After Dark, but I'm sure that we went into details about this class.
I think we've only done that for 2 years, but we did this on Down to Dunk. We covered this class in detail on Down to Dunk. So.
Oh, I remember. The takes on Luka, where like we said many times, he can be a generational talent, and I mean
nailed it.
We were right.
Yeah,
but there was some heated comment about the fact that an European guy, a fat one, is not not supposed to be one of a kind.
Oh boy. I actually went back and like looked at some commentary on what people thought at the time. And the comp that just kept coming up for Luka was Joe Ingles. Like, well, he can be Joe Ingles. And like at the time, it was like pretty favorably, but it's just like, man, you knew like some of the people that were saying it knew that he was going to be better than that, but they were holding back a lot. Like you could feel like they were just holding back a ton. Where they could have just unleashed. Because at the time, if you were just like went wild, be like, listen, this is an MVP candidate. This is a guy that's going to do this, this, and this. He's going to win. You know, I you would have been right, you know, if you would have just not held back. But everybody held back. Everybody got too scared. There were too many. There was too much like unfounded criticism against Luka going into this draft that knocked him back. It's just it's astonishing to look at the draft and seeing him where he was even at three. It's just like, wow, like you guys really missed it. Like you missed it big time. You guys messed up.
Yes.
Wow. Way to go, everybody. You screwed up.
Yeah, one of the fair criticism, and I kind of joked about it, it was the fact that Luka was not in perfect shape. And to be honest with you, that was a huge, huge concern that I had at the time. But I mean, he was so shifty in EuroLeague. He was so much better than anyone else. And he was leading a team at 18 years old, like nailing NBA type shots, doing what the NBA wants. It has like, you can drive the basket to the rim and or take step at threes. He was doing that to such a high level that, I mean, the concern is there. And I think that he's not in shape today. Luka isn't. I mean, the stamina is still an issue. But he's so much, like his talent is so pure that doesn't really matter. I think that he has another year to go. Like if you put that together, the weight stuff, I think that he may be better than what he was last year.
And he will do it. There will be a year that he will do it. Because it happens with a lot of these guys where they just get to the point where they're just frustrated. They're like, all right, screw it. I'm going to spend $500,000 this summer and get the right people in, and they're going to tell me everything that I have to do. I'm not even going to have to think about it. They're just going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to come back ripped.
Yes.
You know, that will happen. There will be a year where we will have Luka muscle watch, and it's and like the league should be horrified of that. Before we get into this, Daniel Tomasi says, Wasan boys, tuning in with my new son, Duke, who was born earlier today.
Wow.
For his first down to dunk. On his first day alive. Yes. Wow. Love the Monday pod. Daniel, congrats to you and yours. Hope everybody is healthy and doing well. It's amazing news. Thanks for sharing with us on the live stream. And by the way, if you don't listen to us live, if you're listening to the podcast, you can hop on YouTube and you guys can listen to us live and comment and be a part of the show. So, all right, let's do this. Let's do a redraft. Number one, you get number one pick again. You'll go with...
No, it's yours. No.
Okay.
No.
All right. I'll take Luka. Luka Doncic, number one. Easy peasy. This is what should have happened. The Suns would have made the finals a lot earlier. They would have been crushing people. The Luka Devin Booker.
Wow.
Like, holy moly. Like we think Luka, or we think that Chris Paul Devin Booker is good. Like, give me a break, man. Like, give me a break. Yeah. Give me a break. Like, that would be so great. You're screwed up. I know everybody's like, well, they got DeAndre Ayton. It's not so bad. Like, look at it. It, like, fits together. Like, shut
it's
up.
It's not so
like,
bad.
Like, stop it.
But it's...
Stop
but it's,
it.
It's still a little bit...
It's like, that's it's a bad. Garbage take. It's an absolute garbage take. They made the wrong decision. It didn't end up being the worst thing in the world, but it was a garbage decision at the time. They had freaking Luka's coach on their team. Yeah. Like, stop. Like, you had everything lined up. Like, you messed up. All right. Next, number two. Where are you going?
I think I'll go with Trae Young.
Okay. Yeah.
Still. And I know that playoffs should not be the entire picture, but they are part of the picture. Like, in the Ben Simmons take that I had, it's not the entire picture because, I mean, I think that even without that, there will be people that say, Trae Young is better than Shea. I don't think that the margin is wide, but we have to take into account the fact that he played an entire season. He was insanely awesome in the playoffs, and Shea didn't have the chance to do that. So to me, he deserves. He deserves an arch for that. And when you have a guy that is shooting 6.3 threes per game, 8.7 free throws, and 9.8 dishes, 9.4 assists, while being not efficient, but he has the room to improve there. and he nails it, and he brings it in the playoffs. I mean, to me, it's deserved. It's really deserved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
agree. Do you agree?
Yeah, he getting to the Eastern Conference Finals was it. If he would have gone out in round one, I'd be pushing harder for Shea.
Me too. I mean, so, I think that the regular season stuff, it's Shea was much better in terms of efficiency, defense, and blah, blah, blah. So if it's the playoffs, to me, and again, the fact that he was more durable, it has to count for something.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that those 2 points are enough to get you there. And we just need to see more from Shea. That's just that's just it. And it doesn't, like, the rankings could be completely different next year if we were to try this again.
Yes. I was doing this like half an hour ago. And I think that there are three players in the same tier here. Mm-hmm. And those three players can be in a totally different order. But I think that the tier stays there.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Okay. So pick three. We talked about a team that screwed up with the first pick. The second pick, Marvin Bagley, just unbelievably bad. Just I mean, there's just a handful of guys that you're just like, why? Like, why'd you do that? Luka went third. Should have been to the Hawks. You can quibble with what the Hawks did. They ended up getting, like, they're lucky that Trae Young is as good as he is, because you trade that opportunity for Luka. Still bad. Still straight up bad. Sorry. Still bad. But it's also fine. Not as bad as DeAndre. Not as bad
I'm
as DeAndre.
I'm not ready to say that that was a bad move. I think that Luka is the better player today. I wouldn't be surprised if in his career, Trae Young achieves more.
It's possible.
It's possible. To me, it's still open. So they made a move that in year one, two, three looks pretty bad.
Yeah,
looks
pretty
bad. Not pretty bad.
Yeah.
But that has the potential to be a move that pays his dividends, like in the future.
Mm-hmm. So this would be the Hawks. I don't know that the Mavericks would still trade up if Luka wasn't there. So I'm taking SGA here.
Yeah.
I just think that shot creation matters, efficiency matters. And you can say, if efficiency matters, why wouldn't you take Michael Porter Jr.? Like, it's a good question. I think it's actually pretty close between those two.
Yes.
MPJ is super good. MPJ has the third best true shooting percentage in the class right now.
Yes. It's insane.
And SGA, among primary ball handlers, has the best true shooting percentage in the class at 62.3%, which is great. Mm-hmm. But then you look above, and there's like a lot of, it's big guys. It's Ayton and Mitchell Robinson and Time Lord and Mikal Bridges. And Porter Jr. is probably like the only guy that can really go get his own bucket in that group. Miles Bridges is there too. He's not going to get his own bucket as much. But Porter Jr., 66.3 true shooting percentages is absolutely insane.
It's insane.
But I'm still going to go with the shot creation, the ability to drive the basketball, all the potential that Shea has, the size at the guard position, the versatility that he has. Plus, like, I'm still more worried about MPJ's back than I am about Shea's foot. So that's also kind of where we go in that. And I think the tier you're talking about is Trey, Shea, MPJ. Yes.
I was thinking about Marvin Bagley, but if you want to put Michael Porter Jr., that's fine.
Stop it.
No, it is exactly right. To me, there is a 1A who is Luka today. And then there are three guys that are in a pretty similar tier with Ayton creeping in, but not there yet because he was very good in the playoffs in a very definite role and not ready to take another step offensively to me. So I think that MPJ deserves a lot. I mean, he was mocked as a top five guy for reasons that are probably have to do with his back. He slided way too much. The Clippers really screwed up because if you have two picks, I don't care how much you think the other guy who...
Jerome Robinson.
Jerome Robinson. Yes, thank you. I thought it was a Robinson, but anyway. You have to take him. You just have to. Especially like when you have...
That's your swing. Like, you already got... You had just taken Shea. You made the trade for Shea at 11.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That's the guy you wanted. Take a swing. Take a swing. Holy moly, take a swing on Michael Porter Jr.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine, like, how easy the life would be in Clipperland right now?
Oh, man. Or in Thunderland, for that matter.
I was about to say.
I mean,
two picks less and one MPJ more.
That could have been real.
Yes.
That was after the rookie his rookie season. What did he? How much did he play his rookie season? I don't even remember.
Very little.
Yeah.
If anything.
You know what? This is Thunder fan fiction at this point.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, man, the Clippers, you screwed up. You screwed up our future. Goodness, we could have already had him add Giddy to that group.
Poku?
Like, all right, let's go. Poku, Giddy, MPJ, like, let's go. Like, instead, you took Jerome Robinson, late riser, terrible player.
No one cares.
Yeah, no one cares now. But yeah, I think that's the right order so far. So
yeah.
What are we at? Fifth?
Yes.
Okay. This is where things get a little bit more interesting, but really not that much. So I'll take DeAndre Ayton here.
Yeah.
He went number one. He's really good. He's been a very efficient player from the center position. I still think he's got room as an offensive player to grow if they allow him to and show that he's like a championship caliber center. So, you know, good for you guys. He's still really young, developing. He's going to get stronger. I think he's going to be a great player. A great player. He'll be a very good player. You know, could make an all-star team.
Sure.
You know, maybe not, but you know, he's not an all-timer. He's not a shot creator. That's the biggest difference there. So,
yeah, I think that is right. And yes, I think that this could be the year where it takes another step forward offensively and it basically learns how to be an effective offensive player. And because he should be the presence under the basket. He should be dominant down there. And he isn't. He wasn't so far. And I think that he could be. I thought that at the draft as well. So it's 3 years that I'm waiting for him to be more assertive down there. But the playoffs were a nice step ahead. And so
yeah,
I think that this is a very, very fair draft position for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's fine. There's not anybody over... And the thing that I value a lot is shot creation.
Yes.
As you look at the rest of the group, there's one guy that can get his own bucket, but how does he affect winning? Does he affect winning? It's a question to
be asked. Stop. Don't. It's for later.
It is for
a
later.
Little bit later. Not like not immediately after this one. With number six, I'm sure that I don't have your pick there.
Okay.
I go Jaren Jackson Jr.
Oh, well, you do.
No.
Yeah, this is boring.
We're so boring.
Oh, we're so boring.
But anyway.
We talk too much about the draft together.
Yeah. Take a guy that is... The only issue here is the fact that he's very injury prone, and that should count for something.
Definitely, yeah.
But he's
and he
a guy
just doesn't rebound, like flat out doesn't rebound.
Yeah, he's bad at that. But I mean, Memphis has good rebounding guards, so to me the problem is less than.
And also, he's like camps out on the perimeter. He actually, and the thing about him is like he defends the perimeter pretty well too.
Mm-hmm.
That's also not the biggest issue. And now he's got Steven Adams to box out everybody so he can go get some boards.
Yeah.
So maybe this is his year.
Yeah, I mean, to me, a big man that takes 3.8 free throws and 5.5 threes is, I want to give him another chance. And if the alternatives are the Bridges, Sexton, Gary Trent, Herder, Graham. I want to give him another shot. I'm drafting here.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, very high level role players or guys that I don't want in my team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. We're going to keep rolling. And actually, before we keep rolling, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. And we're back from that quick break. Next pick, seventh pick. So far, it just looks like chalk on my on the draft board that I made. I've got Mikal Bridges at 7.
Oh, no, please.
Is that what you got too?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Talk about high-level role players. This is about as good as it gets because not only does he hit threes with crazy efficiency, he defends the perimeter just about as good as anybody else in the NBA.
Yeah.
So Mikal Bridges, a little older when he was drafted, should have been a Sixer. A huge, huge, huge blunder by the Sixers.
I talked have about, no idea.
I mean, it's about awful. That trade. Yeah, it's so bad.
He was perfect. Like,
He was absolutely perfect for them. They traded for Zaire. He's Shake Milton
just much, much better.
Yeah, he would have been absolutely perfect for them. I talked about true shooting percentage. He has the second highest true shooting percentage in the class.
He takes jump shot. It's not that he doesn't.
I know.
Like 4.4 threes per game.
Yeah. 66.7% true shooting. It's unreal. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Better than Ayton, better than Mitchell Robinson, better than Miles Bridges, better than Porter Jr. Like just absolutely sick. And the usage rate is low, 14.7% usage, which means if you have creators already, like he's the perfect guy for you. The perfect guy. Like going forward, when people are going to talk about like how can we find this kind of player to complement stars that we have, everybody's going to talk about Mikal Bridges. Like that's going to be the guy. And he should be the guy because he fills the role very well. He's already 24 years old, one of the older guys toward like the top of this class, but extremely deserving of, you know, being selected seventh in this redraft.
Does he get the bag next season?
He will absolutely get the bag. I think he'll get 20 mil.
Yeah, that is what I'm... Well, it's not that you should be worried about, especially with the news that the cap will going so high in 2025, but
it's fine.
Still.
It's a lot, but if you want the best role player, I'm talking about the guy that everyone's talking about.
Yes.
You got to pay him. You got to pay the man. Yeah. You pay for top-tier talent. That's the way the NBA works.
Yeah, 84-4-4 contract like that.
Yeah. I would say he's very deserving of such a deal. Because you take him off of Phoenix, how far do they go?
Well, they can go far, but not that far.
They don't go to the finals.
Yeah, no.
Doesn't happen.
Well, maybe Jalen Smith improves or something.
Wow, shots fired. Woo, spicy. All right.
Oh,
what you got?
I should have made the math better and like realizing that 8 is even, and so by picking second, I would have picked Colin Sexton, which is something that I don't want to do, but it's
going
time.
Off my board a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a scoring machine, not an efficient one. He's the perfect six man, especially if you have like a very steady team. He can get on the court and create havoc. And yeah, with the second unit, it's completely fine. He has the potential to be a six man of the year, like perennial candidate to that. And I think that he can be, if he wants to, not horrible defensively. He is right now because probably no one cares. But come on, a guy that generates 6.4 free throws per game.
Yeah. Like, he's really good. He's younger. You know, he's only 22 years old.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's 24-4-3 last season. 81% from the line. 37% from three. Like, not bad. 47% from the... I mean, like, the efficiency is not bad. Like, we're not talking about, like, some gunner that, like, doesn't hit shots. Like, he's a good player. Yes. And you put him in the right structured system or around the right players, which is not Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe we have a different opinion of Colin Sexton.
Maybe.
Like, there's a chance if you put him around, like, some wings that are good and a big man that can defend, which they have, like, Jared Allen's a pretty decent big man, but you put him around a better team, like, what do we think of Colin Sexton? Because he had a really great season last year, so.
Yeah.
I don't hate it, but I still question, like, if he is your point guard, because he has to be a point guard, or he's your, you know, guy off the bench, which I think he's shown enough to not have to take that demotion yet, right?
It depends where he goes, but yeah.
Yeah. The problem is he's 6'1", you know?
Yes.
That's like the biggest issue that he's got. So, yeah, I get it. I totally get it. I like him. I think he's fun. He had some fun games last year. The Cavs have got to take a step forward, though. Like, they just have to.
Yeah. So you don't have him, Hate? You have him later?
I have him later just because I love Miles Bridges. Just love Miles Bridges. Maybe this is an Eric Collins thing where...
Yes, I was about to say.
Eric Collins just yelling Miles Bridges is just cemented into my mind. But he's a guy that can swing between the three and the four. He hit 40% from three last season on four attempts per game. To me, he was really impressive. And still also about this... He's 23, so still... a lot to be done for Miles. I like him. I think he's going to be really good. And obviously, if you're Charlotte, you'd rather have SGA, because that's the trade that they made on draft night, was Miles Bridges for SGA. But also not the worst. It's funny, like, most of these trades are like not the worst thing in the world, but also pretty
wait
bad.
A second. You don't get to do that. You said that, like, if you pick Trey and not Luka, it's a bad. I mean, if you switch Shea and Bridges, it's bad.
You're right. Like, it is bad. You're right. It is way worse. It is. Just the Luka, the thought that he could be a generational player.
Yes.
And, like, Shea's really good. Can Shea be a generational player?
No.
Like, he's got some work to do.
Yes, but I don't see a world in which Miles Bridges is better than Shea.
Agreed, you're right. You called me on it, and I will accept the fact that I was wrong. I'll accept it right here on the show. I was definitely wrong. Bad trade, idiots, stupid people in Charlotte. How could you?
You could say that it was much, much harder to it is always much, much harder to differentiate between 11 and 12 compared to 1 and 3. That is for sure. And
no doubt.
And so it's fine. I mean, it's a bad trade 3 years after, but no one said it was a bad trade at the time. Yeah. Whereas there were some very smart people who said immediately, wow, what are the Kings doing? What are the Phoenix Suns doing?
Yeah.
And the Hawks was, are we sure? So. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the time, probably there were a lot of people that were high on Miles Bridges, and Mm-hmm. And he's a good player, as you mentioned. I mean, he can be a solid fourth guy on a very good team. I think he has the chance to be that.
Sure. Yeah, starter.
Yeah.
He could be a starter.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
So, guys that have not, that were drafted by the ninth pick that we haven't even really even brought up yet, Marvin Bagley, Mo Bamba, Wendell Carter, Kevin Knox.
Oh, no.
So, those are the guys that were drafted that night that I just don't think had any chance to be drafted in a redraft of now anyways. So, again, we feel like we know the draft class that's coming in, you know, that's coming into the league this year, but we don't know. We didn't know when this draft class was coming in. We didn't know. I think most people knew that Luka was going to be really good. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, it was just like, I don't know. Like Kevin Knox had a great summer league. He was great. Like everyone was hyped. Everyone was so hyped for Kevin Knox coming in, and now. Can the Knicks even get a second rounder for him?
I don't think so. Not a good one.
The answer is no. Yeah, not a good one. Maybe like a top 45 protected second rounder you could get.
Gross.
Yeah, it's really bad. That's just like underlining the fact, like, we just don't know. Like, do we know that Josh Giddey's going to be good? We don't know. We don't know who's going to be good. We just don't. It felt like Marvin Bagley was going to at least be like a good productive player where like people were saying like, oh. He went, yeah, it's a problem. Yes, going to Sacramento is a problem.
Yeah, makes things much harder. But hey, Tyrese was awesome last year. So,
awesome.
I have three wings next. And initially, I ranked one higher than the others, but I'm kind of crawling back to Dante DiVincenzo here. I think that other guys in the same tier they probably have a higher ceiling. But I just think that a player like that is very close to what, like, it was the contribution that he brought to Milwaukee when he was healthy is similar to the one that Mikal Bridges had for Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And so I think that probably is my pick here at 10.
Okay. Yeah, he would have really helped. Really good player. I think where is he at in efficiency in the class? Hold on.
He's not very good, but he's not bad.
Yeah. He's a good player. I'm a fan of DiVincenzo. 29th, 54% true shooting. It's fine.
Yeah, I get just below league average.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go off the board here with a guy that I don't know where he is on yours, but I'm going to go De'Anthony Melton.
I know you would. I know I had him like four spots lower than you.
Yeah.
He's 15 on my board.
Okay. That's not bad.
No, it's not.
I just think that what he can do on the defensive end is really special. And then the way he shot the ball last year has me wondering why didn't he play more? Like, why is he... Why is Grayson Allen ahead of him? Like, what's going on here? And hopefully they've kind of cleared the way for him to play more minutes. But I don't know. I don't know if he will or not. I think he deserves a chance to do that. He used 56.8% true shooting last year. Like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So I don't know. I'm a fan, and he can kind of do everything that you want and can profile as a a good role player that has a little bit more juice than most, you know, just regular perimeter shooters. So I'm a big D'Anthony Melton fan. So that's where I would take him. I considered him earlier, but I'll take him at 11.
Now it's me. I have four guys. I kind of lean towards Kevin Huerter here.
Yeah.
I'm not fully convinced of my pick. I have Gary Trent in the same area, Graham, Brunson. And probably Brunson is the guy who helps you win the most among these guys.
No doubt. Today.
Yeah. Today, yes. But Kevin Huerter has the potential to be a secondary creator. Not that Atlanta desperately need a guy that can do that, but there were moments in the season where I said, that is the idea that Atlanta had when they drafted him. Mm-hmm. And again, he's a willing three-point shooter, an accurate shooter. I think he can be better than what he was. It's 36% to me is kind of low for the kind of shooter he is. And so...
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm a Huerter fan. I think he's good. He's got good length. He played well in the playoffs. Yeah, that matters. Yeah. That stuff matters. Oh boy, this is where it gets tough because you have some creators still left in the class. Mm-hmm. You've got some big men that are left in the class that are decent. And then you just have like role player guys that are in your top eight. I'm going to go Gary Trent here.
Good.
Got a big payday. Can create. Can shoot. I'm a fan. He plays bigger than he is, which I think is he kind of has to if he's going to survive in the NBA. So, yeah, I'm a Gary Trent believer. So he was 53% true shooting, so not spectacular, but good enough.
Yeah, he's very bad from two-point range. He's not a good finisher nor a good pull-up shooter yet, but he took 7.4 threes per game. And he hit 38.5% of them. Just focus on that. Raise that to 10, maybe, and just play more into a role. Maybe with a little bit more of creation from Toronto, he will, maybe if Dragic stays or whatever, maybe they will ask to create less, and he would be more of a spot-up guy or one dribble pull-up guy, and maybe that will help his percentage. He's a machine from three. There were games where he just... It was unstoppable. And the defense is not very good. And that's why in the end, I had him higher, but in the end I said, well, DiVincenzo can defend. He's not the same shooter, but I mean, if I want to win, probably he's not the guy. Gary Trent is a tad below Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah. Yeah, Gary Trent, only 22. And he was sixth in points per game in the class.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of impressive. Okay, let's end here. Let's end with the lottery because I've got to go.
Oh, so no Devonta Graham. Okay, too bad. Too bad we are very good fan, like big fan of him. So it's a shame.
Wow.
No big man either. Like,
oh, no, you got one pick. You got one pick left. This is your 14.
So it's Devonta Graham.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's... He was very good in Charlotte. He's an extremely good shooter. He doesn't bring too much apart from that on the court, but like being able to pull up from anywhere is a skill in the NBA.
We said almost 9 3-point attempts per game. Almost 9.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, 8.7. 37.5%. And again,
the class, by the way. That's the most 3-point attempts per game in the class.
Yeah. Yeah. Luka is close, but not that close. And I'm not sure how many he will take in New Orleans. I hope a lot because that team needs spacing.
Yep.
And yeah, I think that he, in the end, if you ask Dallas, if you call Dallas and say, well, do you want Jalen Brunson or Devonta Graham? I'm not saying that they would say yes, but they would at least think about it. Mm-hmm. And to me, they are in the same range, the same tier.
Yeah.
The tier where I had the Anthony Melton, by the way. And so I think that in the end, if it's my pick, then it's Devonta Graham.
Yeah, I'm a big Jalen Brunson guy too. Guys that we did not mention, Wendell Carter, Time Lord, Mitchell Robinson, Landry Shamet, Bruce Brown.
Big Bruce Brown guy.
Hamidou Diallo, Anthony Simons, Grayson Allen, Shake Milton.
Yep.
All Landry guys that were mentioned. Yeah, Shamet, it's good.
Lonnie Walker.
Okay. Yeah, not so much. Not so much on Lonnie. Okay, let's go through our, I'm going to go through our top 14 real quick, and then we will end it. Stephen Croach says, what about Hami? Hami would have been like probably in the next 5, 6, 7 picks for me. Like, I think Hami's good. Like, I think he's legit.
Yeah, I have him 22nd on my list.
Yeah, something like that makes total sense. So Luca, Trey, SGA, Michael Porter Jr., DeAndre Ayton, Jaren Jackson Jr., Mikal Bridges, Colin Sexton, Miles Bridges, Dante DiVincenzo, DeAnthony Melton, Kevin Herter, Gary Trent, Devontae Graham. That's our list.
Not bad.
Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. I'm going to read the names of the people that are in the chat here, and then we're going to go. Alex Gatch is here. Hoopstock 69. Kay Bizzle is here. Tim Gordon. Daniel Tomasi, who we mentioned earlier. Again, congrats to Daniel and his family. Abakar Sadiq Yahaya is here. Thanks so much for joining. Stephen Croach, as I mentioned. My guy Alex Bowlerjack is here. What's up, dude? Brett Rankin is here. Adam Brandt is here. Let's see, anybody else? That's it. Hope you guys have a great, great day. Remember, a week from today, media day. It's going to be super, super fun. Hope you guys have a great, great start to your week. Enjoy your Monday, and we'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday.